Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Dr. Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program brought to you each week by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. This program comes to you on KFIA several times a week and is brought to you by Epiclesis. As always, I'd love for you to zip over to the Epiclesis website. You can learn more about our church and find out more information about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. That website address is epiclesis.org, spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. One of the really nifty things about my job, and especially as host of this particular radio program, Ancient Future Faith, is I get to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Faith, ministry friends and colleagues and mentors and professors, folks wearing all kinds of hats. And today I'm very proud to introduce to you a friend all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee, the Reverend Dr. Brett Travis. Hi, Brett, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be on.
Well, I especially am glad to talk to you since Knoxville is my hometown, although it's not yours, is it? That's not where you are originally from.
No, I was born and raised in southern Ohio.
Okay. Well, one of the things I love to do, Brett, right off the bat in our program is just get our guests to talk a little bit about themselves, tell us everything we need to know about Brett Travis, and let us get to know you just a little bit better. And then I want to start picking your brains about this thing called Ancient Future Faith and also your ministry there in Knoxville.
I was born and raised in a little town called Wheelersburg, Ohio, just between Ashland, Kentucky, and Portsmouth, Ohio, down on the Ohio River. Basically, a coal town, steel mill town, up through the 50s, 60s, until it finally went out. But during that time, I graduated from Wheelersburg High School, played sports there, and football was pretty much my sport. And from then, after graduating from high school, went into the Air Force. But during that period, right around the age of 13, I was attending a Free Will Baptist church, and came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian family, so if it wasn't for the local little school bus coming through on Sunday mornings, like most of us kids who lived in a rural area, I probably would have never met Christ.
Wow.
But the only church in that area was a small Free Will Baptist church, and so I got to ride the school bus, and really what got me on the school bus was the donuts. You know, the school bus driver, he would pass out donuts, and I thought, man, if I can get donuts on Sunday morning, I'll just go to church.
So, I love it.
So we'd get on the bus as a bunch of kids and, you know, head to church, and then over the years became closer to Christ during the walk, but then like any young man, you know, you join the service, you kind of get away from things and vacillate back and forth. But after the Vietnam War, most of the guys that I'd gone to high school with were enlisting during that time, and my number was coming up, so I decided to join the Air Force. So after about 4 years, got out in 75 and was in Tucson, Arizona at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and came back to the University of Kentucky to finish my undergraduate degree. And during that time, thought that, you know, God was calling me into dentistry, and through those years, I realized it was ministry. I just got the terminology wrong, but after graduation, I left there and went on to Southern Seminary in Louisville.
Right.
And completed my master's degree, and then felt a real urgent call to go back in the military as an Army chaplain. So after going back in 1989, I spent about 24 years on active duty as an Army chaplain and retired in 2008. And returning to Knoxville, where my wife's parents lived, we bought a home here and began opening up a counseling ministry, marriage and family counseling, and so that's what we were doing. Interesting that you're calling from California. I'm also got my doctorate from Fuller Seminary, my doctorate of ministry degree there.
Right, right. I had forgotten
1995,
that.
1995,
yes.
And Pasadena area, and so a great area to live in, just was a lot of fun. Later on, about 2013, felt God calling us to start a local church. So we started a church with the Charismatic Episcopal Church. They consider themselves a communion of churches, not a denomination. But basically, while on active duty, I was an Anglican priest, and so just followed that back into the ministry here in Knoxville. So at the present time, we've been up and running since January of 2013. A vibrant, small congregation, you know, 15, 20 people. That vacillates on Sunday like any church, but we're building. Basically, right now, we're doing what they call a certificate program, just basically, you know, teaching people the catechism of the church, trying to do some outreach projects on evangelism, discipleship, and it's a Emmaus Abbey Church. Its name is founded after Christ appearing to the two on the road to Emmaus, and just seemed to be my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, is how God appears and talks to them and just shares the gospel, and they are enlightened by the words, and they break communion, and just seem to follow the trail of a liturgical church, an ancient future church. And so I think it was in 2014 or 2015, I got to meet Dr. Chris Alford and began getting involved with a lot of Robert Weber's work, and found that the ancient future church really fit what we were doing here. So that's kind of where we're at this point.
Folks, you're listening to a wonderful interview with the Reverend Dr. Brett Travis. He is a pastor. He has worn a lot of other hats, as you just heard, throughout his life of ministry. And he's calling in today from Knoxville, Tennessee, my hometown, and he is the pastor of Emmaus Abbey Church there. We're going to talk more about that in just a second. But Brett, one other question occurred to me as you were speaking there, and we haven't talked about discussing this, so I'm going to kind of throw you a curve here. But it occurs to me that your life as a chaplain in the Army undoubtedly prepared you in many ways you couldn't even possibly have foreseen for being a pastor. Can you talk about some of the places where there were some overlap there and how God used that experience to prepare you for pastoring?
Yes. I went on active duty as an Army chaplain in Savannah, Georgia, and was assigned to an aviation battalion, and also was an associate pastor of Hunter Army Airfield Chapel. And those listening will probably remember the Gulf War in 91 when Bush 1 sent troops downrange. Very interesting. I worked under General McCaffrey during that time, and Jill was his wife, and I thought I was going to be deployed forward. But, you know, a general's wife has a lot of influence, so Jill asked, you know, Brett, would you be willing to stay behind? I've already talked to your commander about you pastoring the church, because we got so many families and children that are being left behind during this deployment that I just don't feel like we could take someone out of the chapel mix that they don't know and send them downrange. So I became the chapel pastor there at Hunter Army Airfield. We had, oh gosh, thousands of families coming through, seeing their loved ones fly out on aircraft to go to Kuwait, different places during that time. And it just seemed like that's where God had placed me. You know, every chaplain wants to always move forward with their units, but God had different plans. So that was my first inception of Army chaplaincy and working in a chapel setting. On any Sunday morning and Wednesday and sometimes Thursday afternoons, there would be 300 to 400 people packed in the chapel praying for their loved ones that had been deployed downrange. We had brought in chaplains from the reserve side, National Guard, to help with the ministry. We ended up opening up a couple other buildings because we were so full during that time. We didn't know what God was doing, but we knew that God was with us and in the families and in the hearts of those that just felt scared for our nation. And so God began opening up doors, and soon after that assignment, I was deployed to Sinop, Turkey. And during that time, I thought, well, you know, as a young captain, I didn't really know much about foreign missions as a Southern Baptist chaplain at that time. You know, we really were not trained in sacramental ministries. And so the chapel was set up in such a way that its design of wearing a robe and so on and so forth was foreign to me. You know, I was kind of like a calf looking at a gate when I first saw the black robe hanging there in the stoles and so on.
Right.
I had a good chaplain's assistant that kind of mentored me through that process, and that's what really began my journey in looking at the ancient future faith. and the historical, classical Christianity. I think I was asleep at the wheel at Southern Seminary during my church history classes because it seemed like I was in just a total foreign world. I was set directly right in the midst of a Muslim country, a Muslim community that was not very nice to Christians. And the chapel overlooked the Black Sea. And so it was kind of a interesting concept when you looked out the bay window on the left side. All you saw was razor wire and Turkish gun mounts all the way around the fort, you know, kind of protecting us, but really not letting us out much. But God got me through that. I spent a lot of time praying. We had a local Greek Orthodox priest who managed to come up on the hill. He was doing a lot of ministry underground and just a wonderful man. And he was sent there, I think, by God to help me through that 13 months. Did the 7 church tours. I was able to do that a couple times, taking our troops through the 7 churches of Revelation. And so that was, you know, a great way to kind of get out as well. But I found that our missionaries in the Baptist church and many other different churches, I got a taste of what isolation felt like being a pastor.
All right, well, let me just interrupt for a moment, Brett, to remind folks that they're listening to, and we'll get back to the story in just a minute because I want to see what happens next. But you're listening to an interview with the Reverend Dr. Brett Travis. Brett is the pastor of Emmaus Abbey Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And as you have already heard, he has had an illustrious career. My goodness, 25 years, I guess, in the military, Brett. And we were just up to the point where you were deployed in Turkey, and we'll get back to it in just a second. This broadcast is brought to you by the folks at Epiclesis. Epiclesis is an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. And as always, you can get more information by popping over to our website. That website address is epiclesis.org. But most especially, I'd just love to have you come visit with us on a Sunday morning. We meet at 10:30 at 4600 Winding Way in the Carmichael area of Sacramento. Now, Brett, we were talking about your military career and places where experiences that God led you through helped prepare you for pastoring. And we were just to the point where you were talking about your mission in Turkey. But I know that leads on to some other things, including, 9/11 and the Wounded Warrior program. So tell us what happens next. That leads into something else, right?
Yes. So that led on to coming back to the States. From there, I went into the advanced course for the chaplaincy at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and then sent back out to Hawaii at the 25th Infantry Division and was the Divardi Command Chaplain there for artillery. So really an awful tour. I mean, being on an island for 3 years, the ocean there, sunshine every day, it was a terrible assignment, but I'd do it again. And during that transition time, 9/11 had hit in New York, so I left Fort Rucker and went on staff with General Tommy Franks in Tampa, Florida, and was there for about 2 years until I deployed forward during that time with General Gary Harrell in Qatar. And after that, I was sent back to the States for a while and then back over to Germany and then Belgium as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization chaplain, NATO, and pastored the East Chapel there. We had the Church of England. We had the Orthodox priest there, Roman Catholics. I was the international pastor for the NATO community, which had 29 countries during that time, and many times a lot of their chaplains would come in, worship with their people, worship with us. So it was really a multicultural, multinational force of families from Norway, Spain, Slovakia. Just an amazing group of people. It kind of really reminded me at one point of Tower of Babel. you look at the aspect of all these different peoples kind of building their kingdoms. But we all got along very well. Kind of what it'd be like to me in heaven, where you have all these different people in one service speaking all kinds of different languages. Try and understand a guy who can barely speak the English language preach to them. So we had Italians and Germans and people from Spain, Portuguese. They would always say, you know, Brett, we cannot understand you. I said, well, that's good. I can't understand myself. But it's just one of those things where, you know, just you see this conglomerate of nations coming together, but somehow being able to speak that one language that the gospel so clearly presents to us. from then, I left NATO. I came to Washington State and was the command chaplain for the Madigan Army Medical Center Wounded Warrior Program. And at that point, after 2.5-3 years there, retired and came back to Knoxville, which kind of brings us full circle of a career that I've been in the chaplaincy, very rewarding. I don't think there can be anything more rewarding than ministering to America's families, either deployed or in a cantonment chapel someplace in America. You really get to minister to all 50 states, all types of cultures and people. I mean, it's just amazing the career that God was able to allow me to have just serving others in that context.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with the Reverend Dr. Brett Travis. I'm proud to say he's a friend of mine and colleague. He's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network and the pastor of Emmaus Abbey Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. By the way, Brett, on behalf of all of us listening, thank you for your service. Folks, you can hear how this service that Brett has had, a long and illustrious career in the U.S. military, at least two branches, helped prepare him for being a pastor, but it also introduced you, Brett, to this notion of the ancient faith. In our remaining moments now, I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what ancient future faith means to you, and how are you applying ancient future principles in this particular context where God has you right now in Knoxville?
Yeah, to me, classical Christianity, I think, is where it's at. I think having read a lot of Robert Weber's books on the ancient faith, looking at the ancient future faith, kind of brings into the context the whole aspect of the three streams of the church, the aspect of evangelism or the evangelical, sacramental, charismatic, liturgical, the components that seem to me that were so segregated or disassociated with the mainframe of our calling as pastors to lead churches in communities, to draw those kinds of things together as three streams into one stream. To me, is the basic roots of really what the historical faith is all about. When I look back at reading a lot of these early writings of Weber, it shapes, I think, the continuity of the church in the future. If we're going to be able to maintain any kind of understanding of where God is leading us, I don't think that we can continue to be separate denominations in order to be successful in what God's calling us to do. So I feel like, you know, the ancient faith, the ancient future church, I think is the best platform in which to launch a discussion and a conversation around all these denominations that are just so inculcated in their little thing that I felt like, you know, the best thing I could do was to introduce Emmaus Abbey Church into the ancient future thought process in order to get us to where we're going to go. You all have been together for quite a while, and to try to grasp the concepts of three streams, I think that the ancient future faith is able to do that. I think they're able to put in the framework and show us the picture of what things would look like in the future if we look to the past of where we've been and bring it forward to the future where we need to be.
Well, that was Bob's whole concept, wasn't it? That the road to our evangelical future must run, has to run, will run through our ancient past.
Yes.
So you're seeing this then kind of as a foundational thing. Sometimes I say, Brett, that there's something about ancient future faith that scrapes the barnacles off the bottom of the ship of state so we can kind of get back to brass tacks, get back to first things. So is that sort of the tack that you're taking there?
Yes. Right now, you know, whenever we're bringing people into the church, of course, the CEC has its catechism, and that's like 300 questions of who God is. You know, what is God? What are the persons of the Trinity? So on and so forth. You know, when you're looking at a catechetical aspect, but it's more than that. It's more than just reading some questions and answering some questions in order to go through confirmation. I think the aspect of looking at the ancient future church is conforming to those things that Dr. Weber, you know, has so greatly put together. It is a mindset. I mean, it's a process of putting yourself in that root structure to allow you to, you know, to think and worship in that dynamic. And that's where Emmaus Abbey is going. it's kind of a rough hoe because, I think that, I'm going to try to be nice here, is the fact that so many churches globally, look at as more of a performance-oriented kind of ministry, and
indeed,
I don't look at
yes.
it that way.
Right.
I think that we need to get back to the roots of prayer and worship and one-on-one evangelism.
Amen, brother.
If we're going to win the church back to Christ. I think one lady told me the other day, she goes, I don't feel like that I've really known the faith after reading Robert Revert's book. I can't get it right off the top of my head, but I'm going to grab it here while we're talking. But she was basically saying, how do I get from A to Z not having, any context of what worship is, ancient future worship is. And so I gave her some books on the journey to Jesus. And so as she was, moving through those books, she had this aha moment of, coming to Jesus, the evangelism, the whole world structure, she goes, is a dynamic in which, it's about performance. And she goes, it's really kind of crazy that, we're a missional church, and the missional church in the ancient world doesn't look like this, we seem like, it's, I think she came from another charismatic church, but she said, it seems more relaxed here, and the funnel seems to be big at the top, but when you come out at the bottom, you're focused in the Word of God rather than all of this other stuff. She goes, I read The Rite of Conversion by Robert Weber, and she goes, I've not read these kinds of things before that kind of helps you come out of the funnel process into a more specific walk with Christ. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, it does, because we're using Journey to Jesus and those materials from Robert Weber to bring people into the full life of our church as well. And folks, if you're interested in hearing more about the Journey to Jesus process, just pop over to the Epiclesis website. It's been a great pleasure to talk with you today, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time. And would you come back again? I have about 12 more questions I'd love to ask you. We'll have to unpack those in another visit. Would you do it?
Absolutely.
Folks, you've been listening to a colleague and friend, the Reverend Dr. Brett Travis. And let me take this opportunity one more time just to roll out the red carpet and say how very much we'd love to have you come worship with us at Epiclesis. When people ask me what worship is like at Epiclesis, I take a stab at trying to tell them, and I also encourage them to go to our website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. There's all kinds of helpful information for you to find there. Or you could talk to people who go to our church. That's always helpful, too, to get a perspective from someone other than me. But the best thing of all, I think, is to come worship with us in person. Try it for a couple of weeks, even, and just see for yourself what it's like. I'm going to bet you that it's going to have a profound impact on you. It surely does for so very many people, and I'd love for you to experience it yourself. Until we gather again, folks, for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to keep this in mind. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. Pastor Chris here with a little note to say that we're right in the middle of one of the best times of the whole Christian year, the celebration of Easter. In the ancient church, Easter was a season of rejoicing, not just a day, and the Easter season is a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.